You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right.
Yeah.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back as we kick off your 1 o'clock hour with the new head coach of the Utah State men's basketball team, Jared Calhoun, kind enough to join us. Coach, welcome to the program. This is going to be first of many conversations we're going to have, and I'm just going to apologize in advance. You're going to see my ugly mug a lot over the course of 5 or 6 months during the basketball season. I purposely stay away from you during the summer because by the time February, March rolls around, I'm like, I got to talk to this Jack A again. But how you doing? Congratulations on the gig.
I'm doing great. I'm excited to see your ugly mug.
This is
a place I wanted to be at, and it's exciting.
So tell us a little bit about the process. Obviously, tremendous success where you've been, but how did this all come about?
Yeah, you know, anymore, you know, college basketball, we're in a new landscape, right, between the NIL, the portal, and then obviously there's coaching changes. Sometimes when you don't have success, there's a change, but sometimes when you have success and somebody moves on, you know, you have to fill that position. I was blown away, guys, by the process here at Utah State, from the organization to the questions they asked, to the commitment level. It was mind-boggling. And I hadn't slept, to be honest with you, in about 6 or 7 days. After I left, I can't even remember which day it was. Now everything's running together. I just was pacing around my house. My wife says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I want that Utah State job." It's been awesome.
So you took over Youngstown State, and that was a program that had had some struggles, and you got them built up to where you're winning 20 games over the last couple of years. This is a different situation where you step into a program that's coming off a first-ever outright conference championship, the first NCAA tournament win in 20-some-odd years. Do you have a different mindset when you come in as a coach in this situation as opposed to when you went into Youngstown State?
Well, I think you have to respect and honor what this group did, right? They're part of history. You know, I'm a big history guy. I love studying history of places, of teams, of athletics. Do my research on that. So certainly understood the expectations. Talked to Danny Sprinkle a couple nights ago about that. But I'll say this. It's been my whole life's journey to put myself in a position to be at a place that my family is really happy. We are going to be so happy here. This fits us. And then at a place that really cares about basketball, I wanted an athletic director that, you know, really, I hate to say it, could keep up with me, because I like to go from the time I wake up till the time I put my head down, whether that's fundraising and different things. And you can win a national championship here, guys. There's no reason you can't. We've saw San Diego State in the Final Four. We've seen Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. Well, why can't it be us?
First things first, how's the talent here?
Well, I mean, the talent is unbelievable. You know, if we can retain all of these guys and just add a few pieces, it's the unknown, right? When you take a job in the portal world, in the NIL world, you never know what guys are going to do, right? They're in a transition. They were awesome on the first time I've talked to them, and I've talked to them ever since I got the job. So we're going to have those conversations tomorrow with each and every guy. Everybody's story's different to me. You know, basketball and you know, college athletics is about storytelling. And I said, I want to hear your story. I want to hear what you guys have to say. Sit down and, you know, figure this thing out. But if we can keep everybody, obviously, we're really good. But we'll have to wait and see what happens.
How does a guy like Great Osabor fit into what you want to do from a basketball X's and O's standpoint?
Very well. You know, the way we play, we kind of typically play with what we call transporters and non-transporters. So if Great gets the defensive rebound, he's a transporter, very similar to what Danny did. We invert guard on forward ball screens. My whole MO on offense is find, create, and keep, right? You can find the advantage, create that advantage, and then keep it. We want ball movement. Great is a guy that you can isolate pretty much anywhere on the floor. He's a matchup problem. There's no doubt about it. about it. You know, I've talked to him about improving his three-point shooting, right? You can't shoot 21% and play in the NBA, right? His whole goal is to play in the NBA. I think I can help him with that. You know, I have had two guys the last 2 years I've recruited as transfers. They never made a three in college. You can look it up. Crazy story. Both kids, we worked with them all summer, and then we empowered them, and they all made threes, both of these forwards. So I think Ray would be awesome.
Let's talk about this school and being able to play in the Spectrum and the fans. What did you know of it before you came, and what do you think of what you've got here on this campus?
Yeah, we got whooped 7 years ago, you know. So right then it was my first, you know, really my first impressions on the place. Coming back here a couple days ago and then now back in there again today, it really is magical. It really is magical. I think it's the ultimate home court advantage, right? It really is. So I think this university is committed to basketball. I think the fan base, the area, the state of Utah is awesome for basketball. There's, you know, we have some great programs. So we certainly want to be at the top in this state. We want to keep our homegrown talent here, bring it in here to Logan, and we'll work tirelessly to do that.
When you talk to Danny and you spend some time going over the roster, I'm sure, and talking about individual players. But overall, you mentioned in the press conference, you'd watch this team a lot on TV throughout the course of the season. So when you go into the interview process and you're talking to Diana and the committee as well, do you come with that knowledge? Do you really break down the roster, or are you talking more big picture, or are you really zeroing in on individual guys?
Yeah, a little bit of both. That's a really good question. You know, I wanted to separate myself. I think, you know, to be great, you got to be different. So with this process, I wanted to be different in my approach. You know, I know everything about this team, the way they play on offense and defense. I don't know those guys on a daily basis with practice and meetings and film study, but I had done enough homework. I had not slept for 2 or 3 days, and I really studied this team. And, you know, I'm a huge Mountain West guy. I love it. This is really, to me, the purity of college basketball. I think there's so many great players in the league. They come back. You know, we got to get back to the mentality of, like, playing for Utah State and playing for different universities really means something, right? That's not just about an NIL paycheck. And I think we have that purity in this conference. And that's why it's so good. I mean, six teams in the NCAA tournament, just a remarkable season.
They talk about head coach being as good as their assistant staff. Talk a little bit about your assistant staff.
Yeah, you know, we're going to bring a couple from Youngstown, not ready to make that make that announcement yet. But, you know, I've been really, really fortunate over the years. You know, my best friend in the world coached for me, you know, Joe Mazzulla. He's now the head coach of the Boston Celtics. So he coached for me for 3 years, took over when I left, and look at his story, right? Chinenu Nwachukwu is now with the Memphis Grizzlies. Shamgod Wells is now in the G League. I have various coaches at all different levels of college basketball, whether it's Division I, Division II, the NBA. And that's some of your most proudest moments, right, as a head coach, is when your assistants get jobs. So I will always surround myself with guys that are going to make me better. They're going to question me. They're not going to be yes men. But also they got to be able to recruit at an extremely high level. We've got to win recruiting battles. You know, from an X and O standpoint, they got to know what they're doing. They got to be able to relate to these kids. And I can't wait to get some guys here. We'll go to the Final Four later this week, and we will interview a few guys. The current coaching staff has been incredible. Those guys have been professional. You know, we're still working through some of that as well.
When you okay, so let's just say for the sake of argument, and I think every Aggie fan has their fingers crossed, you bring back, you know, the majority, if not all, of this team next year. Does that alter how you schedule, or do you have a general scheduling philosophy, or does that change year to year based on the talent that you have coming back or experience you have coming back?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, right? Outside of recruiting, coaching basketball, practice, those sorts of things, scheduling is one of the biggest components of any program. I think you have to be strategic. You have to have a plan. If these kids all said they'd come back, we've got great. We got Ian. We got Mace and all these guys. Fish already said he's coming back, and we get Josh back on board. And we go add a couple good guards and maybe another wing shooter and a four. Why would we not go and play at some of the best venues in America or a neutral site game and try to improve? There would be no reason that would have any hesitation to do that.
Do you have some open spots, or it was a lot? You don't have to go into details, but has a lot of that already been done for next year?
No, we have quite a bit of work to do.
Okay.
You know, Jerry has been awesome. We're going to work with him tomorrow on it. I got to get the final numbers, but I think we need a ton of basketball games.
Yeah.
What is your collective philosophy?
My collective philosophy is to be the number one collective in the conference. I think we have to work tirelessly to raise awareness about, you know, the NIL. I think, you know, we were ahead of the curve in Youngstown. Our numbers were absolutely incredible the last 2 years. Why? I was on a few committees, and I started to understand, hey, this NIL is about to come into college athletics. We got to be ahead of it. So I think getting former players to get back, I think the community, I think nationwide, our brand, our name, all the graduates, we've got to be at the top, right? We can't be in a recruiting battle where it hurts us. It's detrimental. But I also think we have to be strategic. We have to have a plan in place to help educate these guys. You know, one of the things we've done is a character class where we've brought in different business people from the outside. We've had mentoring programs. We've really, really tried to grow our collective and understanding that it is ever-changing. Just a couple months ago, now they have legislation where you know, everything's just changing, right? So we got to stay ahead of that.
I always like to ask, you know, when I get to know coaches, some generic questions just to kind of get your philosophy on different things. And I've asked a lot of coaches this. I want to get your opinion. You had a lot of tough teams there at Youngstown State, you know, tough, you know, minded kids. Can you coach toughness, or is it something you're born with? And how hard is it to recruit and identify toughness when you're analyzing a player?
I think you can get guys tougher. I think you can. You can watch guys mature. Like I told Fish, I didn't even recognize him. You know, he was an 18-year-old kid in Youngstown on his trip, his mission trip, and he looks totally different, right? So I think guys mature, they develop, they get bigger, they get stronger, they get faster. You know, how we want to recruit, number one is we got to make sure they fit our culture. What are we trying to establish, right? Everybody uses that word culture, but really at the end of the day, culture is, you know, how you behave, right? And what you got to stand for something. So we talk about we over me. That is our whole MO. But we want to recruit winners, right? And I think winners are tough. So if you can get guys that have won, they're going to be tough-minded guys.
Every coach has a type. What's your type when it comes to recruit? I mean, as a player, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I love guys. I don't know why. I've had a lot of success with guys that either want to be pros, right? They have a real determination to play professional basketball or get into coaching. I've gravitated to those guys for whatever reason. But, you know, we have a formula for every position, things that we measure, things that we look at. We're big on analytics, big on the numbers. We do a ton of stuff with that as well.
Ken Pomeroy is a good friend of ours, and he comes on the show quite a bit. So he actually lives in Salt Lake.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so he, in fact, before
I'd love to get in touch with him.
We'll make that happen during the break. But no, Ken. In fact, he does a show with us before the tournament, and spends 2 hours on the show with us.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah, we're big fans of Ken and KenPalm.com. But you're all in on the analytics, then, huh?
Yeah, very, very, very much so. Use a couple different services. You know, use it for everything, recruiting, the portal. We have a site for that. We use it for scheduling. We use it for our current players, too, to try to help them understand the numbers.
When you look at this Mountain West Conference, you mentioned how difficult it is, and you put six teams in the conference. That's got to excite you as a coach to come into a conference that has that kind of – that level of excellence where, you know, night in and there's no off nights in this conference. Even the teams that may near the bottom are still, I mean, Utah State played Fresno and went into overtime twice with them and they made a coaching move for crying out loud. I mean, that's just how crazy this thing is.
Yeah. Fresno was in a lot of those games, you know, they were there till the last 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's everybody's goal, everybody's dream to play, you know, coach and play in multi-bid leagues, right? And I think there's going to be nothing different about that moving forward. Why can't we, you know, historically get five or six teams, you know? So It's certainly exciting. I understand the expectations, the level of player you need. Certainly I'm going to have to grow with that. But, you know, I have great respect for all these coaches in this league. You know, Steve Alford and I have the same agent. He's reached out. He's been tremendous. Coach Pitino at New Mexico. And I really respect a lot of these guys. I mean, they're excellent coaches with excellent programs, with great fan bases. So you got to get good players, and you got to be a good basketball team.
When you and again, this is, I'm broad brushing here a little bit, so take it with a grain of salt. But some might say, oh, here's a guy that comes from the East, the Midwest, doesn't have a lot of ties out West. How can he recruit on the western side of the United States? How do you feel like your connections are? And is that an important part when you build your staff?
Yeah, well, a couple things. I've recruited the West Coast for sure over the years. But I would say with the portal and the way the game has changed a little bit in recruiting, about half or 60% of your players could come out of the portal. You know, I'm not sure what the numbers are. We presented those to Diana in the interview. I think it was 4.5, 5 players off every roster in the Mountain West, you know, were transfers. So we're going to do a little bit of both. So I think you hit it on the head. I think, you know, a key hire that we're going to have to make is a guy that can not only get into our state of Utah, but the West Coast and have a presence and, you know, be able to walk me into places. And, you know, I love to recruit.
Yeah.
I love people. I love to talk. So we've always been able to get kids over the years that kind of fit us, right? So that is going to be a big hire that we will certainly take not lightly at all.
Are, you know, you mentioned JC kids in the press conference, you know, with the transfer portal, and then obviously everybody's still going to recruit high school kids. Is that still kind of I saw, like, there were a couple of kids at Colorado State that were in Wyoming, had Division II kids that came out of nowhere that were just phenomenal players. I think sometimes the JC Division II guys are getting overlooked, and there's a lot of hidden gems there.
Yeah, I mean, Cartier at Colorado State was a great player. We recruited him last year. He's from Michigan. Yeah, I mean, the big kid, Mason at Wyoming, was another really good player. So I think junior college, Division II, and in any level of basketball, you certainly we can attract anybody from any place, anywhere, with the tradition, with the fan base, the care factor. And this, it's just beautiful out here. I don't know why anybody would not want to live here. It's a college town, right? The Aggies really mean something. So in your recruiting, you got to find guys that fit that mold and want to be a part of it.
I'm always fascinated by, you know, when – you know, we all go through major life changes and job changes and things like that. And you get the family involved and you talk to the family and your wife and those around you. But this is a big one, from Ohio to Logan, Utah. So when you come home and you talk to the family, a family dinner, and you're like, hey, guess what? I'm working on this. I mean, how does that go over? And what are those conversations like?
That's a great question. You know, I think at first, you know, this started probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. When I mentioned Utah to my wife, she started looking at it and studying it and realizing the more we learned about it, it fit our family. You know, we lived in Fairmont, West Virginia. We had probably about 4 restaurants, right? We lived out in the middle of nowhere for 5 years. And we've always said it doesn't matter where we live, it's the people. We don't really care. We're not materialistic people like that. So our whole life is about relationships. You know, I didn't come from a whole lot. I had to scrape and claw and grind my way up to where I'm at. And when I left here, I told my wife, if I get offered this job, this is going to be a place that we can stay for a very, very long time, because it fits us as people. And our girls are huge. You know, in athletics. So I think, you know, you're going to see us at all the women's games, the volleyball games. Get a chance to meet the soccer coach today. Phenomenal, phenomenal guy. So it's exciting.
Do you like the pressure of the success here at Utah State? Because we were just talking about this with Diana Sabo. Multiple head coaches. Scotty, this will be your 9th.
So this will be upcoming. This will be my 8th season calling games at Utah State. It'll be my 5th. You'll be my 5th head coach.
Scotty, I hope number 5, I hope I'm your favorite.
Well,
and how many of those coaches won?
All of them. You know, even Tim, who was let go after the first year, or my first year, was still had a winning record that year, you know. And so The bar is set pretty high. Yeah.
I think Danny called it a pressure cooker. He said it could be a pressure cooker, Coach. It's real. You'll feel it. But, you know, everywhere we've kind of went, we have figured it out, right? We've averaged over, 20 wins a year for 12 years. And, you know, even before that, you know, my first job in coaching NAI school, we won a national championship. West Virginia, we walked into that situation. John Beilein had just been the coach. And, you know, we had a good roster back, but not great. And we go to the Sweet 16 in the first year. We beat Arizona and Duke. And then the third year, we go to the Final Four. So, you know, this place is certainly a basketball coach's dream. And you got to want that, right? You got to want the pressure cooking, you know, coming your way.
What was it like playing for Raleigh Massimino?
Tremendous. You know, Coach Mass was a family guy, model a lot of what I do after him. As far as on the court, off the court, I thought he was tremendous at switching up his defenses, making other coach coach a little bit. And then just the amount of time he spent with us, you know, the staff and the players, you know, his wife, Mary Jane, cooking and, you know, the camaraderie of a team organization. So I've been really blessed. I played for a Hall of Fame coach. He's not in yet. Coach Massimino, he should be in. Yeah, I don't know why that, what the holdup is. And then Coach Huggins, obviously, is in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, my high school coach has 5 state championships. We have the most NBA players in the state of Ohio. You know, started with him. You know, I lived with him in high school. And then Jeff Young at Walsh University, NAI, now a D2 school, won a national championship. So I've been around a lot of winners. And I think, you know, President Tressel, some people call him Coach Tressel, but he has 5 national championships, you know, 4 at Youngstown and 1 at Ohio State. Winners know how to win. And that's what we gotta figure out right away.
I'll tell you, Coach, I was impressed. When we got the news of your hiring, we contacted one of the main beat writers for Youngstown State, and he came on and we asked him specifically about you. He was very complimentary, and you don't hear a lot of beat writers when a coach leaves be complimentary to coach. So that was number one.
That's neat.
Number two that I thought was really interesting is he said when coach came in and took over Youngstown State, where it was and where he got it to was one of the most impressive feats I've seen at Youngstown State. So I thought that was complimentary. But a different scenario here, where you had to rebuild or build something new at Youngstown, where he said we'd never seen winning like he brought. Now you've just got a winning program. Is there a different philosophy with the way you attack it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing we got to do every day is make sure that we are all moving in the right direction, right? From your staff to your team. And I'm a big believer in this, man. If you do what you're supposed to do every day and you win every day, you're going to win, right? And I don't just sit up there today and say, hey, we want to win a national championship. That's the goal, if I don't ultimately believe that, right? To me, the mind is a powerful thing. I was taught that years ago by a very good coach. And, you know, I want our guys believing in that. I want our guys to understand, hey, we won 28 games last year. We won the Mountain West regular season title. We beat TCU. We lost to Purdue. We want more, right? So that's the philosophy I have here. I'm going to attack this thing with a vengeance. And,
I love it.
You know, I understand that Coach Sprinkle, I said, you know, it would have been easier if you'd have lost a few more games. But I loved your team. You know, I respect the heck out of what he did.
It was such a good team.
I mean, it was so much fun to watch. Every guy knew their role. I mean, how do you not like watching that basketball? But he was a great guy. He didn't have to take my call, and he was awesome.
I just because I'm a basketball nerd and college basketball nerd, I want to know what you talk about pressure cooker. What's it like being a student assistant on a staff led by Bob Huggins? Because that couldn't have been easy.
You know, a lot of people think they saw him on TV.
Exactly, we see him.
Total opposite. You know, if you do your job, you work hard. You know, they asked me. Jerry asked me this question. He said, "Jared, you know, how was it working for Coach Huggins?" And you know, what was the best thing about him? And I said, I've never seen a guy, and I heard Patino's like this too, is, you know, every pass, every closeout, every help side just challenges you on every play in practice. Mm-hmm. So when you got to the games, it was really like a night off because you worked so hard in the 3-hour practices that it became natural. And he was a great guy.
Who do you, do you just kind of cobble together pieces of every coach you worked with, or is it – Or is there one in particular that you kind of lean? You already talked about Coach Massimino, but yeah. Is there one in particular that you kind of lean on more?
I think you try to, you know, every year you try to get better. You know, one thing that we've done a really good job of is changing with the times, right? Understanding that most kids don't want to be centers. You know, we spend a lot of time studying Europe, watching a lot of European basketball. I think they play the right way. Very fortunate that, you know, former assistant and my best friend is the coach of the Celtics. So, you know, we can have a lot of access to a lot of film and a lot of different ideas and talk a lot of basketball. But I'm a junkie. You know, I go down to Florida. There was a Florida clinic this past year. Went down there for multiple days. I visit practices. You know, Joe's brother's now with the Jazz.
Yeah.
And one of the former assistants, he can tell you this. You should have him on sometime. A kid named Lamar Skeeter.
Oh, yeah. We know Lamar.
Was a great soccer player. Ask him about this. But he was a basketball player. And I outworked everybody because I went to his soccer games. And at that point, I didn't really like soccer. But now I love it because my girls, and he committed to Walsh University. And so we're going to have a relationship with Lamar. I can't wait to learn from Will and that staff. So I think you got to evolve and change.
I'm just curious, when you were at Youngstown there in Ohio and the town that you're in and your recruiting philosophy, was it Recruit Ohio? You'd mentioned while we were sitting here just kind of in passing, it was – we need to take our best players out of this state. But what is your philosophy in in-state recruiting? Because you've got fingers everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some of the best basketball that can be played out there in the Midwest. So what is your recruiting philosophy?
Yeah, I kind of stole this years ago from President Tressel. You know, here we would say we want Utah kids. You know, we want to surround this state, really map it out from a six-hour radius, right? And if we don't know every single kid within a six-hour radius – we haven't done our job, right? And we want those kids to come to our campus as much as you can. We run one of the biggest elite camps in America. Nobody does it. Most guys want their summers off. We do six sessions. We do 950 to 1,000 kids at Youngstown the last 4 years. It's amazing. So what that brings is a lot of talent to your campus. They get to see who we are, what we're about. They fly in from all over the country. We had 49 states last year, different countries. We work at it year-round. It's going to take us some time to get it here. So that's a big part of our recruiting is our elite camp, the AAUs, understanding we got to have great relationship with the AAU coaches. You know, we want to be a national brand, right? I think after last year's success, this is a national brand. When we walk into junior college events or high school games and we put on, you know, the games in the spectrum or highlights, people are wanting to be a part of that.
Coach, we've already kept you way too long. Appreciate your day, your time. This
could
is
keep
fun.
You for hours.
I know this is a
go till six if you want to stay with me.
Are you guys on all day?
No, just till three.
Just till three. But gotcha. Coach, looking forward to pick your brain. And again, I apologize in advance for the upcoming season, but we're gonna have a good time.
Oh, you're gonna love him, Coach.
Guys, I look forward to building our relationship. Yeah. Man,
bring him a little food. Actually,
what do you like to eat?
You name it. We don't discriminate, man. Burgers, pizza, you name it.
If you ever run out of conversation, just you can get into smoking.
My son and I, this is what simpletons we are. It made our whole you know, restaurant. You know, you're thinking about the In-N-Out burger. It made our whole day today. We're going to go there tonight through the drive-thru.
Go hit the double-double.
Haven't had it forever.
Yeah.
So I'm ecstatic about that. I will be there probably.
So you're there. I mean, it's that simple for you.
My wife's like, you know, I'm not going to be with you for a couple months now. You need to probably stay away from there. So I'm excited about it.
Well, Coach, congratulations.
Right. Thanks,
again,
guys.
There you go. Jared Calhoun, new head coach here at Utah State, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Can we just wait on the transfer portal till the end of the college basketball season?
No, that's the boot.
Can we start
Absolutely not.
On April 15th, once the season is over?
How are these players expected to go on? If they're forced for
an extra minute.
Can
we have some logic of not opening the transfer portal in the middle of the season?
Absolutely not.
In the middle of the most important stretch of basketball?
Not a chance.
Please.
Ben, why do you hate players? This is what people have been saying to me for years. Why do you hate players? He's an American who can go wherever he wants.
Absolutely, you can. When the transfer portal opens, guess what the NCAA controls? The transfer portal and the dates.
Stop
hating. Just control it. This is another area where the NCAA tournament has had opportunities to put on some red tape, some guidelines to make this thing make a little bit of sense.
This is America. No one can control me. You could control. Look at that. Look at the language you use.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. We'll be right back.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
It is your good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Some fun conversations. If you missed any of them, make sure to get to kslsports.com. We just had the new head coach of the Aggies, Jared Calhoun. And tell you what, man, he's no nonsense, man. He's all about that business, boss.
Oh, he's really good. Yeah, he is. He's no nonsense. And he stayed for just a second after the conversation, and he was no nonsense then, too.
Yeah.
He's the real deal, and you can tell they worked really hard to find the right guy. The one thing, well, there were a bunch of things that I took from his conversation. The one thing that stood out to me the most was his emphasis on the collective.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what is your goal with the collective? And he did not mince words. He said, it's to be the highest collective in the conference.
Yeah.
I don't know where they currently are.
They're doing better.
But the highest collective in the conference, that is a big goal.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was interesting from him. And then the assistant staff situation. He's currently working on it.
Should be interesting to see how that plays out for sure. All right, good, bad, the ugly. Hans, let's start with the good. Speaking of Utah State head coaches or former head coaches, Craig Smith leads his team against Larry Blurd, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, whatever nickname you want to use, but they got Indiana State tonight in Hinkle Fieldhouse.
And you can catch that game on the Mothership. That's going to be on ESPN, and that is a 5 o'clock tip. And Indiana State's great, man. 31-6, and you know, you talk about this big man that they've got. He's just a unique skill set, and he can put it on the court. He can assist. He can score offensively. He's just very good at scoring. He's a big draw. He's a big part of the attraction, what they do at Indiana State. So you've got to really focus on Avila. And
if you have not watched this guy play, you have to watch him play. He is a fascinating player, to say the least.
He is. He's fascinating, and he's still pretty young. And he's not a seven-footer. He's just under 7 foot. He moves well for his body type, and he can work down low. He works in the block. He'll put his back to the basket. He's just good across the board, Scotty. I mean, he does a little bit of everything.
He looks like everything is in slow motion, but nobody can stop him. It's the weirdest thing. But he is an absolute joy to watch.
Averaging 17.5 points, 7 rebounds, and nearly 5 assists a game. Mm. So this is going to be a really good challenge for the University of Utah. My hope is, and we had Craig Smith on yesterday, and it was great to be able to catch up with him. Scotty and I just have got to know him over the years. Scotty, you better than me, but we want to see him have some success. And I can't imagine, you know, winning an NIT championship in the final year of the Pac-12 with all the different situations that you dealt with where – you know, one of your best guards wasn't even available for the first third of the season, and he's had to adjust his lineups. We talked to him about that yesterday. He said, I went through so many different lineup changes. To be able to get to the postseason where everybody unifies and then you're able to win through and even get yourself to a championship game, that would be a really big accomplishment for him.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Good, the bad, the ugly rolls on again, all brought to you by RGS Exteriors and Construction, obsessed with quality results. Well, the Minnesota Vikings have now suspended offensive coordinator Wes Phillips for 3 weeks without pay following the legal resolution of a traffic stop back in Minneapolis. Joined the Vikings as part of Kevin O'Connell's crew back in 2022. Back in December 8th, he was stopped on Interstate 394. He showed signs of impairment. Ultimately, his blood alcohol level tested at 0.10, so a little bit over legal limit, which in Minnesota is 0.08. He was booked into the county jail, released early the next morning, posted a $300 bond. He accompanied the team to Vegas later that day and continued working through the regular season. But now that everything's been resolved in terms of the legal issues, he has been suspended.
Yeah, another DUI case in the NFL.
Rinse and repeat.
Yep.
And the thing is, it's coaches, owners, administrators, almost as much as it is players. Like, everybody's behaving badly.
I don't know. The NFL's got a problem. And I don't know what's going to happen with this Kansas City Chief player that walked away from a major accident, but they're starting to say that they've now identified him as one of the individuals that did walk away from the accident. And the NFL says, well, we're following it really careful.
Oh, yeah,
Kansas. And it's like, hey, Kansas City, you got yourself in a real bind because you got a head coach's son that was an assistant coach that just nearly killed a five-year-old, and she's left brain damage for the rest of her life. And
yep.
And you've got a real problem on your hands, so you better be able to handle this pretty swiftly. And this is another situation where you've got an assistant who thinks it's okay to go have some drinks and jump in a car, get on a road, and head out. But at least he's hitting some suspension.
Yeah. I mean, but 3 weeks in the middle of an offseason.
It's nothing.
It's nothing. Yeah. All right. There's your bad. Time for the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
This is a really sad story, and I don't know the details on exactly the cause of death, but Vontae Davis.
Yeah.
And, Scotty, you and I definitely remember him, and I remember him well because he did play with the Colts for just a minute. Selected as the 25th overall pick back in the 2009 draft. He played with the Dolphins, the Colts, the Bills. He was found dead in his grandmother's home. And it's a home that was owned by his grandma in Southwest Ranches, Florida. It's about 30 miles north of Miami and just 35 years old. I mean, he just retired in 2018. He hasn't been gone from the game. So there's a lot of speculation. They don't believe that there was any foul play involved. And now you go to one of just a couple scenarios. And none of the scenarios that you can go through are good ones. And it's heartbreaking to see these great athletes that had everything. I mean, think about the money that he had.
Yeah.
The fame that he had. Vontae Davis is a big name.
Yeah.
He had everything that he could want. And it's like, well, what happened in that grandma's home in Florida?
Yeah.
And
you hate to speculate, but.
Well, you hate to speculate. You know, Scotty, I get to the point where with these former football players, I know that the NFL's got great systems set in place to try to help them integrate and flow out of the NFL and to be able to find the excitement and the high and the work and the fame and the money that comes with football. It's a crazy adjustment. And I worry that these adjustments cause depression or you're looking for the other kind of high or, and I just hope that there's a solid net to fall into. The problem is, I do know that there are different things that are set up by the NFLPA to try to help you as a former NFL athlete. And what I would encourage people to do is lean into it as much as you can, lean into it, so you can make that transition and not have to go through whatever heartbreak might be set up for you. Because, yeah, man, the world, when you leave professional sports and you step into the world, it's like, oh, this is a totally different set of standards of existence. And it's hard to conform, really hard to conform.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans and Scotty coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll revisit one of the more fun games we've seen in a while. Iowa gets the win over LSU. And we don't talk a lot of women's basketball, but that game, everybody was dialed in on that thing. And we'll touch on that and what that means to the overall expanse of women's athletics.
It's going to have a gigantic viewership. I have not seen the numbers yet either. Typically, they've got overnights, but I haven't found the overnights.
I haven't either. So we'll touch on that coming up at 2:05. Whole World News coming up next. It's all straight ahead, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present...
This is JJ and Alex.
Jay Stevens, Utah Puck Report is a podcast you can go listen to yourself.
The writing is on the wall. I mean, there's a billion dollars just approved through legislation. I think the state sees it, the city sees it as an opportunity to kind of revitalize downtown Salt Lake City. So even the people that aren't hockey fans are on board. The NHL really seems to like Ryan Smith. So you just start putting all those pieces together and it just looks like it's inevitable. And that's how I see it. I see, like, this is something that's happened. This train's coming. you should get on board and enjoy it and then be able to say I was there from the beginning.
Catch JJ and Alex afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. By the way, with all those interviews, I spaced giving away jazz ticket. That's on me, folks. So we got tickets to give away. It's Jazz Ticket Tuesday. All you have to do right now is be caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. You win a pair of tickets. See the Jazz and the Nuggets coming up at the Delta Center on April 9th. All right. Here's the, look, there's a lot of people out there that may have made bad decisions, Hans, when they're a little inebriated.
Many.
Well, let's start with a Florida man who has had to plead no contest to a misdemeanor charge. It's actually called grand theft, which is interesting. And I don't know exactly how else to describe the crime that was committed here. But he went into a tattoo parlor as he was drunk and had a tattoo done of his favorite restaurant. It's Florida. What do you think his favorite restaurant is?
Hooters.
There's the tattoo. He went Waffle House. Got the logo and everything. There's the Waffle House logo on his arm. And anyway, so the guy's like, all right, well, this is what it's going to cost. And he's like, his name's Matt Critchett. Matt's 33 years old. Matt said, yeah, let's go, baby. And they're like, okay, well, do you want the yellow in it? And they're like, well, no. He goes, I don't have the money for that to have the yellow. So it's just a black and white Waffle House logo. And so he does the tattoo work. The guy's drunk. The whole bill was $250. Had he gone
it's
with
not
the
bad
yellow.
For that.
Yeah, not bad. Had he gone with the yellow, it would have been $350. So they do the tattoo. It's done. They're like, all right, it's $250. Cratchett opens up his pocket. He has $6.
Oh, that's a problem.
To his name. That's it. And he also then, quote, refused all options to satisfy his debt. He was arrested, booked into the county jail. He spent the night, posted a $150 bond. He's now $675 above that in fees, courtrooms, costs, and the $250 he owes. So he went in to get a tattoo that would have just been $250. Now he's pushing close to a grand in fines, fees, and the actual cost of that tattoo. So kids out there, and Lloyd, I don't know if you want to verify this, don't get tattoos when you're drunk. Because Lloyd, he's got a couple. And he won't tell us the story.
He's got Barry Manilow. We don't know how Barry Manilow ended up. Or was it Roy Orbison?
Oh, nice. Roy Orbison with the shades and everything. That would be awesome. Lloyd, what's your tattoo again? Oh, he's going.
I love mom.
It's Bette Midler. So
more of a Deborah Winger fan.
So there's a few things. You know, I love to save money.
Yes.
There's a few things you don't go in thinking, I'm going to save some money on this. Tattoos are one of them. You never think cheap with a tattoo because you're literally putting print on your body that's going to stay until you're 90. Until you're finally dead.
So you're saying if you wanted a John Wayne tattoo instead got a Clint Eastwood?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Our boy went in to get the Duke, ended up with Clint.
It's not a
because
bad
he got
trade-off.
It for free. It's not a bad trade-off except for he doesn't like Clint Eastwood. He likes John Wayne.
What? but it's a free tattoo. Like if it was like, you know what? We can't give you John Wayne, but I'll give you a free Daffy Duck tattoo. Would you have done that?
I don't know, because the Clint Eastwood tattoo is of him with that flat brim hat and the hand rolled cigarette.
Oh, it's a great picture.
Just off the corner of the lip. So it is an iconic picture. So it does look tough. Here's the sad thing about our boy Bruce, jazz fan Bruce. Those of you that haven't heard from him, you would absolutely love this guy. He's got two tattoos on his body. The Lakers and Clint Eastwood. He's not a fan of either.
No. And you made him get the Lakers tattoo.
That was Lloyd and Lund. I have nothing to do with it.
Don't you put that on me. Nope.
Usually you've always thrown Lund under the bus. This is the first time you've thrown Lloyd under the bus for that.
Lloyd, were you producing at the time, or was that Daytona?
No, I actually wasn't. I don't even know if that was
Daytona. So it was
that
Daytona.
Might have been Gore.
Oh, I could see Daytona being very influential
pushy.
And
very
pushy on that. Yeah, absolutely.
Very pushy, that guy. Don't save money on tattoos. Speaking of which, how about this for a business idea? Hanson Scotty's budget tattoo parlor.
I like that.
Come in for your budget tattoos.
You got 10 bucks. We'll get you a tattoo.
We'll get you a tattoo.
We can't promise the quality, but you'll have a tattoo. We'll get you some ink.
Are you on a budget? Do you want ink? Come into the Hanson Scotty budget tattoo parlor.
With what we lack in artistic ability,
we'll make up for it
in price.
In cost.
Hey, guys, Hanson Scotty here, and we may not be the best when it comes to delivering that high-quality tattoo, but we'll do it cheaper than anybody else.
People walk in, and Ajay and Lloyd are sitting there with a tattoo needle. There are tattoo artists.
Who are the Vegas Raids? Don't worry about it. We couldn't add
Vegas Raids.
We couldn't add in the ERS, so don't worry about it. But guess what? You're getting a hell of a deal.
But did you pay $20? That's right.
Where's the crossbones? No, we're not doing those.
No. All right. Coming up next, Hanson Scotty. We'll kick off your 2 o'clock hour. This is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Take the zone with you wherever you go. Download the KSL Sports app to get live streaming of your favorite shows.
Downloading.
Download the latest podcasts and get all the latest breaking news on the teams you can't live without. Everything you need delivered right to your phone.
Let's go get them where we can get them.
Just search KSL Sports on your app store of choice. Download it now. The KSL Sports app, presented by University of Utah Health.